Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to learn about being an overcomer. Now, you don't have to work on becoming one. When you were born again, you're born of God. And all those that are born of God are overcomers. You just got to learn to be what you are and learn to yield to what you have already been made on the inside. It requires mind renewal because in this world, people by and large talk fear. They talk doubt. They walk by sight. And that'll, you can do that without even realizing fully that you're doing it. But you were not made to lose. Amen. You were made to win. Amen. Victory is your natural environment. Yes. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fish in the water.
Yes.
Is you and victory.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we should commit to God and follow Him fully all the way in everything. And in so doing, win, 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 win. Anytime something comes up, you overcome, you win. You overcome, you win. You overcome, you win. And it ought to be this way so much that if we get to a situation and we didn't win, we're like, whoa, something's wrong.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
This is not normal for us.
Right.
And then we got to find out, well, why? Where did we miss it? And get it fixed and win. Right? Because He always causes us to triumph, the scripture said.
Yes.
Well, Father, all of us agree together as touching this today here and everybody that's joined with us. Asking for utterance and anointing and quickening so that we might become stronger and develop fully into the victorious ones, those who are more than conquerors through you that have loved us. We ask for ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to understand, and answers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Master. We're continuing in our study. We're deep into it now. We've been into it for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from the Bible, from Scripture, not opinion, not theory, truth. Scriptures from the Word of God, 30 of them, major points of truth. Why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. All encompassing. Always God's will. That means every day and every night of your life and past this life. For all of us, that means there's nobody that God wants them poor. And God wants them, not anybody. Somebody said, well, yeah, but there's all kind of people that are poor and starving. Yeah, but it's not God's will.
That's
right. So we said, well, yeah, but if it's happening, it's God's will. Oh, no. That's the big error that so many are making. No, Adam and Eve listened to God's enemy and in effect turned over their authority in the earth to him, to the devil and his crowd. And now the scripture calls the devil the god of this world. And he is manipulating and controlling, and death and curse is full of the earth. That's why things are the way they are. That was never God's perfect will and will never be God's perfect will. All you got to do is look at the front of the Bible and the back of the Bible. And you see the perfect will of God. Amen. When God made His creation, before sin, before the fall, there was no lack. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no death. There was no pain. There was no cruelty. There was no violence. That's the will of God.
Amen.
He made it the way he wanted it.
Yes.
If he had wanted all that junk in it, he would have created that way to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. And man's fall and sin and the resulting curse is not an improvement on God's creation. It's a fall. It's failure. Not from God, but from man. Then you fast forward all the way to the end of the book. And you see new heavens,
yes.
New earth,
yes.
No curse,
yes.
No sorrow,
yes.
No pain,
yes.
No dying.
Yes.
Yay. That's God's will. And all this bad stuff that happened in the middle never was God's perfect will and plan.
Amen.
He knew it was going to happen. He saw it. And that's why he had a plan of redemption ready to go. Somebody say, thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
But no, don't try to tell us that the pain, the terrible things, the cruelty, the tragedy, the death, the starving, the poverty, the disease, don't try to tell me that's the will of God. It never was. It never will be.
Amen.
Those things are bad. They are not a blessing in disguise. They're not a blessing at all. They can't be. They're a curse. And what we've been studying here recently is, hallelujah, we've been redeemed.
Yes.
From the curse of the law. So we've been giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all. And we're down to number 18 in our study. If you haven't been with us, go online, faithschool.org, and all the previous 17 plus a whole lot of other things, hundreds of lessons on faith are there. And no charge, no cost. You don't have to commit to anything. We won't ask for a retinal scan or your fingerprints or anything. No requirements. Because of the goodness of the Lord and our partners, it's underwritten and it continues to be underwritten. Just there waiting on you to go get it.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And feed your faith. And so we want to continue in that. Reason number 18, look in Galatians 3 again. We're talking about being redeemed from the curse of the law. And it's important to be specific when you say redeemed from the curse. Curse of the law is what he said. And so it's better to include that phrase when you say that. In Galatians 3, he had said that verse 7, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Faith in Jesus, faith in the Christ. That's us. Somebody said out loud, I am a child of Abraham.
By faith in Jesus.
Then he says, verse 9, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It's important to realize that God doesn't do things that are transitory. When he does things, they last forever. He sees the end from the beginning, and he is able to take into account every possibility and every factor of every change over endless eons. And based on his knowledge and understanding and wisdom, then when he says something, it is forever established. It'll never need a correction or an update or an addition. His word is forever settled. And when he does things like what he did with Abraham, when he called him, when he revealed himself to him, when he entered into covenant with him, it was with him personally then, but it was for all his descendants into perpetuity. And we now know that included not just those with his physical DNA, but all those who would be born again. And then what we're reading right here. And so the words that God spoke to Abraham and the blessing that he gave him, and then that he revealed in more detail when he gave the law through Moses, and it was described in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and other places, that is a continuation of the blessing that God gave Abraham. And that blessing is in full effect today.
Yes.
It has never gone away.
Amen.
Nor has the curse. The curse is still here too. But the curse does not work indiscriminately in everybody's life, nor does the blessing come on everybody indiscriminately. The blessing is on some,
yes.
And the curse is on the rest.
Yes.
And are you glad to think that you are in the blessed part?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Whew. It ought to be something we shout about every day and night. Said out loud, I am blessed
with Abraham.
Now he goes on to say in verse 13, Christ has, he's not in the process of doing this. He's not about or soon to do this. Hath means already done, did. Right? He's already done it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, in resulting in the state that we are now not cursed.
Amen.
We're not cursed. Being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus didn't deserve what happened to him personally, as far as the trial, the mocking, the spitting on him, the slapping him, the hitting him with the rods and the crown of thorns and the scourging at the whipping post, the crucifixion. The being crucified was the death penalty for the worst of the worst criminals. And that's why if you read Isaiah and even the religious leaders of the day, they stood out there at the cross and mocked him. To them and other people around, it was proof that Jesus was a bad, bad person, or this wouldn't have happened to him. But the truth is, it was us who had been bad, right?
Amen.
And our sins had to be paid for. If he didn't pay for them, we'd have to pay for them. And so he paid for them. But as he hung there, he became a curse. Do you see this? He was made a curse for us. He wasn't doing any of this for himself. It was for us. He took our place, and in our place was made a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Why? To what end? Very next verse. That. In order that. What?
The blessing
of Abraham. So should we find out about the blessing of Abraham?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
If you don't know about it, get busy. Unwrap this present.
Yes.
Right? See what you have been given. It is amazing. And it's for this life. Right here, right now. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Those who have no natural connection to Abraham. That's us. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Skip down to verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, those who don't believe in Jesus, they are not the children of God. Jesus said to some of the religious leaders of his day, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts and desires of your father you will do. This thing about, well, the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man, we're all just brothers, is a lie. Yes. This is not true. Amen. This is not true. There are people, a lot of people on the planet, God is not their father. The devil is their father. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting Scripture.
Amen.
And the only way that you can be in the family of God, you cannot earn your way. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be holy and righteous enough through your efforts. You must be born again. You're just like into a natural family, you're born into the family. Well, you can be born into the family of God, and it is by receiving Jesus as your Lord, your Savior. If you have not done that, you're at the right place at the right time today, because we're going to lead you in a prayer and we're coming in to the family of God. Amen. Is that right, guys? What do you think? Everybody say it out loud. Everybody watching, no matter where you are, don't be silent. Open your mouth and pray and say this with us, please. Say it out loud. Father God,
Father God,
I believe in you. Creator of heaven and earth.
God Almighty. And I do believe
these words from Galatians, that we were lost, cursed, but Jesus came, and He took my place, and He paid the price for all of my sins and failures and mistakes. And I believe on the third day, you raised Him from the dead. He is alive right now. King of kings, Lord of lords, soon to come again. Jesus, you are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
I receive you and confess you as my Lord and all you have done for me.
Thank you
for saving me. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you meant that, you know something amazing has happened inside you. It's on the inside. And let us know. Contact our ministry and get in a good church. And don't let this be the end. Go and grow from here into the fullness. And, of course, Faith School, we're going to be here for you day after day. You can receive hundreds of faith messages. And next thing you know, you'll have great big faith muscles. And you won't be afraid of anything. And you will just be overcoming all the enemy stuff against you and receiving what God has for you. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful life. You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Somebody say, I am. And I do.
And I do.
Hallelujah. Go back with me, if you would, to the book of Deuteronomy, 28th chapter. And let's remind ourselves of what the blessing is, what the curse is, because if you don't know that, you don't know what you've been redeemed from. You don't know what you got, what you've been given. Somebody says, well, is that a problem? It absolutely is a problem, because the enemy, he don't care if you've been redeemed or not. And he don't care if it's legally right or not. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He's a lawbreaker. And he will try to work curse and destruction in your life. And if you don't know to stand up to it and resist it, then you'll just accept things that you should not accept. Amen. So you need to know what you've been redeemed from.
Yes.
You need to be crystal clear on it, so that when the enemy tries to do something that he doesn't have a right to do in your life, you go, ho, ho, whoa, no. I don't know who you thought you're dealing with here, Mr. Devil, but I've been redeemed.
Amen.
I've been redeemed.
Yes.
And you got no right.
Amen.
You got no right, no access to me, because Christ has already redeemed me from the curse of the law. Because didn't the Bible say, resist the devil?
Yes.
Well, why would it say that if you never needed to? No, because situations just like this, you must resist him. And if you'll do it, he knows it's true, whether you knew it or not. And that's why he just runs away, because he knew he didn't have any business trying to do that to you to start with, but he was hoping you didn't know. But we do know. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, this entire 28th chapter is one of the most comprehensive places to learn about the blessing and the curse. It's not the only place. And again, like I said, this blessing started back with Abraham. And this, you'll find similarities in what he's saying here as to what happened with Abraham. He was protected. He was spared. He was blessed. He was made rich. His kids were blessed. His family was blessed, right? That's what you'll find in here. Why? Because these people he's talking to are the seed of Abraham. Right? So he's just going into more detail about both. Now, with Abraham, he knew Abraham was going to stay with him through his life, which means wasn't a whole lot of reason to go into all detail of the curse. Because Abraham, and he said he knew he would teach his children after him. And so with Isaac and then after them, he knew that was going to, you know, be something that was continued. But he also knew with this crew, they're not going to listen. And they didn't. And he wanted them to see just how horrible it was going to get if they left him and they forsook him and they ignored him and they disobeyed him, which is why most of the chapter talks about the curse. And but ever so often he'd say, because you rejected my commandments, because you disobeyed me, you wouldn't listen to me. And he uses language like, the Lord will smite you. Now, we've already gone into some detail about that in previous lessons. That has to do with God being the righteous judge of all the earth. And, for instance, when he said that he was going to pass through the land of Egypt on that last plague to smite the firstborn, he kept saying in the first person he was going to do it. And then at the end of the chapter, he said if they would put the blood on the doorpost and lintel, he wouldn't allow the destroyer to come into them. So we see it's the destroyer that was actually doing it. Somebody said, yeah, but God was allowing it. He was allowing it because they allowed it. Not that it was his will. But the only thing he could do to prevent that is override people's will and control them like a robot. He's not going to do that. He wouldn't do it then. He won't do it now. So he's going into so much detail to show it's going to be horrible beyond description if you forsake me and you replace me with your idols and your other gods. He showed them the horrors of what was going to happen. But his will is in the first 15 verses here. Yes. Right? Amen. That's his plan. That's his will. I'm going to read this to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. Deuteronomy 28:1 in the CJB. He says, if you listen closely to what Adonai your God says, observing and obeying all his commands I'm giving you today, Adonai your God will raise you high above all the nations on earth. Is he still that kind of God?
Yes. Yes.
And all the following blessings will be yours in abundance if you'll do what Adonai your God says. So it's conditional,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
On looking to God as your God, following him. Is that still a good idea today?
Yes.
Certainly. A blessing on you in the city, a blessing on you in the countryside, a blessing on the fruit of your body, the fruit of the land, fruit of your livestock, young of your cattle and flocks, a blessing on your grain basket and your kneading bowl, a blessing when you go out, a blessing when you come in. Does that sound good or not?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Blessing. We need to be confessing this because we just got through reading in Galatians 3 that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles and we are his seed. You need to talk like this. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I come in. Huh?
Amen.
Everything I set my hand to, I'm blessed.
Yes.
It prospers.
Yes.
What does that mean? That means the presence of God goes with you.
Amen.
And the blessing and grace and favor of God is working for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To cause things to go well.
Yes.
To cause things that go right. That means you are blessed.
Yes.
Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Yes.
I'm blessed. Said, Adonai will order the blessing on you in your barns, everything you undertake. He'll bless you in the land that he's given you. Verse 11, Adonai will give you great abundance of good things. He'll make you rich of the fruit of your body, fruit of your livestock, fruit of the land that he swore your ancestors to give you. He will open his good treasure, the sky, give the land its rain at the right seasons, and bless everything you undertake. You'll lend to many nations. You won't borrow. He'll make you the head, not the tail. You'll be only above, never below, if you listen and observe the commands of Adonai your God. The New Living says, the Lord will give you prosperity, verse 11, a surplus of prosperity. You'll lend to many nations. You'll never need to borrow. And you'll always be on the top and never at the bottom. That used to be the will of God.
Amen.
That used to be what God wanted for his people. It still is. He's never changed. He's never will. Come on, say it out loud. I am blessed with faithful Abraham. The blessing belongs to me. Now put these words in your mouth. Don't let this be the last time you think about it and say it. In the course of your daily life, begin to say it. I mean, walk out the door. Say, I'm blessed when I go out. Right? When you come back home, I'm blessed when I come back in.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm blessed. And everything around me is blessed. And we're out of time. We'll see you very soon and learn about how we're redeemed from the curse. See you tomorrow here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.